Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. And so, I guess first things first, a little housekeeping to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Before we get into the wrestling part of the podcast. We are recording in a new space.
Yes.
On account of somebody bought a new house recently.
See, the way you're saying that, it's making it sound like it's me, but it's definitely not.
No, I wonder who it could be.
Like, it's somebody.
It's a mystery.
No.
They'll have to go back and listen to the previous podcast about who was happy
even
about
though
buying
I
a house.
Didn't just give it away by
it's
saying
a mystery.
By saying it definitely isn't me.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery third host that has never said a single word.
He just doesn't have much to say. He's you know, quiet, thinking about it.
Which makes you really wonder why in the world we have him on the podcast in the first place.
So we can podcast at his new house that he bought.
True story. Take it away, Charles.
All right, well done.
And that's when you add in little chirps.
This is like our raw or anonymous GM.
Yeah, we're just going to refer to Charles from now on.
The third podcast host. He just didn't have as much to say as the rest of us.
No.
All right. So anyway, all that's to say that we are obviously starting to work out, you know, audio.
Yeah, and the best way
qualities,
to do all this.
Best
this
way
room.
To set everything up all over again. So we hope this will come to you without any technical difficulties or audio issues. Apologies if there are any of those throughout this podcast.
And if there are, hey, you know what? Screw you. All right, come on.
No. We're gonna be apologetic this time.
This is the one where we can get away with it because it's
time,
our first one.
Understand, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're working on it. And we're working on it.
Fair enough. All okay, right. So
into wrestling.
I'm struggling to think of what the pay-per-view name was.
It was Extreme Rules.
Oh, right, that one.
It was Payback Backlash Extreme Rules.
Where all of the matches, just if you looked at the matches, just the stipulations, every last one of them, except for maybe the cage match, was dumb. And then the rules of a cage match are just inherently dumb because of the door. So even then, you have that.
Yeah.
This is the most tame, just from a stipulation standpoint, this is the most tame-looking Extreme Rules I've seen in a long time.
Extreme Rules has kind of had that issue for quite a while.
Well, sure.
Ever since,
anytime you got into the PG era.
Yeah. It's like Extreme Rules.
Which has basically been the, since the inception of the Extreme Rules.
I know,
pay-per-view.
Did they have an Extreme Rules attitude? No, I don't think so. But yeah, when WWE goes extreme, and then it's like, well, that doesn't really mean anything.
No,
that's
really
cool.
It doesn't.
So, all right, let's run this card down.
I'm sorry, I just accidentally hit Backlash.
Well, that goes into the theme of I cannot figure out which pay-per-view we're watching.
Yeah. Okay, so we had the pre-show. Did you watch the pre-show? Because I'm kind of
What was on the pre-show?
Getting there. Kalisto and Apollo Crews.
Yes, I did watch that.
I watched it too, but I don't remember the match.
I know.
I remember there was, because we watched it separately, because me and Joel aren't friends anymore.
No,
sorry, that's the dirty secret that we've been trying to keep from you guys. This is basically mommy and daddy sitting you down and telling you that they're getting a divorce. We're doing this via Skype, actually.
Yes.
Me and Neil watched this, and the only thing I remember from the match...
You got Neil in the divorce.
Yeah, I got Neil in the divorce. And I got Chip and Steen, to be honest with you. Right. I mean, I got the... Like, who would you get?
I had Charles.
Charles. Well, good job, Charles. That's going to be your new running gag. I love it. I just remember there was, one spot I wasn't even really paying much attention to it. There was one spot Neil was like, hey, that spot would have been really good if they didn't cut away from it. I forgot what it was. But then Kalisto ended up winning. Which is always surprising when Kalisto wins a match.
This further feeds into the why isn't Kalisto a 205 Live guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want that to be a running thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that is the predominant thought, that dark cloud that hangs over every Kalisto match.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's just kind of, I can't get away from that.
Because he goes back and forth between either we're talking about why isn't he on 205 live to just forgetting he exists until his music hits or his new music hits, and everyone's confused when his new music hits because we're not used to it.
Yeah.
So then we got the Intercontinental Championship match with Miz and Dean Ambrose, Miz winning.
I like this match. But you know what really made this match for me? Mm-hmm. Is Miz on Talking Smack after the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I guess Raw Talk is what it was.
Raw Talk, yeah.
Whatever.
it had Renee Young on it, so we'll just call it Talking Smack.
Basically Talking Smack. Miz was fantastic on that.
Well, yeah, of course he was.
That's obviously where he shines.
Well, sure, and plus they had a cover because Corey Graves was coming from the commentary booth, and Miz had, hosted Talking Smack with Renee Young in the past, so it was it was a natural fit.
So, that retroactively made this match more enjoyable in my memory.
Yeah.
Is Miz gloating about it, specifically to Renee Young, after the show.
All right, just while we're kind of talking about it, tangent. So, Corey Graves.
Okay.
What do you think is happening with this whole Kurt Angle thing?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you think is the damning evidence or whatever?
I'm still...
Because Corey Graves is the first one who came across it.
Yeah.
And he awkwardly left the commentary booth 2 weeks ago. And then this week, Kurt Angle awkwardly, forgot that they were on television and just couldn't wait for a commercial break.
I'm still very sore about the damning evidence that Shane O'Mac had on Vince to get himself into WrestleMania 32. Yeah.
It's just, Raw has too many mysteries going on right now.
Yeah.
Because you've got this, whatever, I don't know, probably genital photo that is, incriminating evidence for Kurt Angle. And then you've got the whole, attacking Enzo and now attacking Cass. Even though clearly it's the Revival, because the Revival is still in the background of every just backstage segment.
Yeah.
So clearly it's the Revival. I still don't understand where they got. Okay, clearly they wanted to do some angle where they were trying to say that maybe Big Cass did it, and then Big Cass got angry.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't make it obvious enough, or.
Because
that first time that first time that Cass kind of blew up at Corey Graves, it was just felt like, okay, it just seems like you're just really jumping to conclusions because I didn't get that at all.
Right.
Now
going back to the Kurt Angle thing.
Okay.
Because this is where my issue, quote unquote, lies with that. Mm-hmm. So I've been fine with Kurt Angle as a GM so far.
He's been okay.
He's
not been great, and I've been
all he's done is the, plot forward. Oh, these matches are tonight. Nothing.
Come out, say a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason you have a former wrestler as a GM is theoretically at some point to get him in a match. Is he has beef with somebody, and, he's got to come back for that.
Yeah.
Several exceptions, a couple exceptions, mostly Mick Foley. Mick Foley just shines that GM role. But we know that Kurt Angle is essentially still has a match left in him.
Mm-hmm.
Is a constant presence on Raw. And it'll feel weird if it's like, oh, this guy is angry at Kurt Angle, so he's going to fight the Kurt Angle surrogate avatar wrestler.
Right, yeah.
That does not work with Kurt Angle, where it could work with another GM. But with Kurt Angle, no. So, not saying that this storyline is leading to or should lead to Kurt Angle getting back in the ring.
Likely is, but...
But assuming that it is...
It's more than likely Triple H, Stephanie related.
Yeah, it feels... Early,
yeah. Like I mean, they still got Raw has one more pay per view until, Because it's.
Do you think that Kurt Angle will be even wrestling at SummerSlam? Like, I almost feel like you'd save Kurt Angle for WrestleMania.
No, like I think every
and like I really actually side note. Not to bring this up live on air. But I realized last week at some point we never actually did an episode of our WrestleMania Way Too Early predictions.
Holy crap, we did.
Like, we wrote them all
down. Wrote them down, yeah.
But we never actually...
released those.
Yeah, announced them on the podcast. So we need to do that next week. Just a little teaser for next week. Something we should do.
Well, but, you know how you how WWE has all those open-ended things?
Right.
That we always were wondering, like, what in the world happened with that? There's our Class of Ring Attire open-ended one.
There you go. You gotta
And honestly, honestly, I put the blame where it should be. This is all Charles' fault, because he never sent his in.
That's right, and didn't remind us. He probably knew the whole thing.
I'm giving him a quite stern glare right now.
But I'm saying all that to say, because we're doing way too early predictions, mm-hmm. one of my way too early predictions was Kurt Angle versus Daniel Bryan.
Well, yeah.
Because it's the first year I didn't do CM Punk versus Stone Cold.
So you had to have another
and I had to have another reaching. Yeah, throw my head over the wall dream match.
And really, like, hope that this whole retirement thing was a work.
Well, and not even a work. Just he has to retire for a little bit and he comes out of retirement because it'll be a submission match. So it'll be, quote unquote, safer. And
right.
You know,
well, you've got that. Or you could say, like, they used the retirement thing to just kind of, because he needed more time to recover.
Right. Plus, they're both GMs. And, like, that would be a fantastic mm-hmm. way to Raw versus SmackDown this.
Also.
Without.
A tangent. On top of a tangent, on top of another tangent.
Technically, this is all based off of that Kalisto.
No. Raw Talk with Miz.
Oh, Raw Talk. Yes. We did make
it to
the match.
We moved on.
We made it to the second match.
How much maternity leave did Daniel Bryan get? It's been a month. And I've seen, like, you've seen other wrestlers that have had kids and then are back on the show the next week. You might get, like, a week off or so.
Well, I think those wrestlers still have something to prove.
True, yeah,
still
I guess.
Still have a, you know, ladder to climb and a brass ring to grab.
Right.
Daniel Bryan is at the top of where he can be.
Sure.
Like, he can't ascend through the ranks of WWE anymore, really. He's an on-screen personality of a GM. Like, that's as high up in the thing that he can go.
Yeah,
so.
But he can take a Tuesday off. Just leave the kid with the wife and the help.
Yeah, that's,
I'm assuming he has help.
That's the thing. Like, I'm just assuming that, like, he's like, what are you going to do about it? And they're like, yeah. Well, come back when you're ready.
Fair enough. And then again, he can be like, what are you going to do? Fire me? Please fire me. I want to wrestle somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
So.
All right, no. All right, fine. He's using every
yep.
thing he can get. Okay, fine. All right, so how do we unwind from these tangents?
So... Kurt Angle, we got back there, and Daniel Bryan.
So you're thinking it's too early?
Yes. I feel like Kurt Angle should wrestle at WrestleMania.
Well, sure.
I
mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe, like, WWE's just unsure about what he's got left.
Well,
so maybe SummerSlam is kind of like they're kind of dipping their toe.
We had this argument a while back about, like, oh, if they save everything for WrestleMania, mm-hmm. that undercuts the... of specifically SummerSlam and Survivor Series.
But if you look at it this way, they get the obligatory, you know, returning superstar match against Triple H out of the way.
Yeah.
That way we don't have it at WrestleMania.
All right.
So there you go.
Fair enough.
See, we can find it.
All right, so next match.
Next match is the mixed tag team match. Rich Swann, Sasha Banks against Noam Dar and Alicia Fox.
I really didn't like this match.
I didn't either.
Like,
it felt like a waste of every single person involved, except maybe Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox, that's pretty much her thing now.
Well, it's like, this goes beyond, like, there's a lot of matches like, I didn't care for that, or I forgot about that, or that match didn't leave an impact. This one, I was like, I'm actively disliking this
everything,
match.
Yeah.
And part of it, yeah, exactly what you said, part of it is like, I'm upset that these people are in this match.
What do you mean, these people?
I want great things for
yeah, fair enough.
All of them. Yeah, I mean, I want great things for all of them.
I still haven't.
I'm not holding my breath for great things for all of them.
I haven't. There's still one grudge I'm holding up against Alicia Fox. Mm-hmm. It was one time that she was wearing, like, this weird gear, it was like a skimpy, like, navy uniform.
Okay,
I felt that. That felt pretty treasonous, I'm just saying. But no, like...
Okay, but, like, do you remember...
But even with Alicia Fox, they could find something better for her to do.
Do you remember those 2 to 3 weeks where she was crazy Alicia Fox?
Yeah, those are good times.
Come on, that's the...
And we've got a little bit of that in that element, but I don't know. This seems to have gone way too long.
Yeah.
With her and Noam Dar.
No, there's nothing exciting about this match, and there's a lot of disappointment in here.
Yeah.
So, bummer.
Yeah, pretty much. Now then you got the what is a lot of people is calling one of the worst matches of the year is the kendo stick on a pole.
Stick on a pole.
Or the pole on a pole match.
Yeah.
With Alexa Bliss and Bayley. 5 minute match.
Mm-hmm. Really?
5 minutes. I haven't watched it again, you know, after I watched it live.
Right.
And I'm okay with never watching it again. But at that point, like, I don't know exactly what went wrong there, but I felt like something went awry. That, like, something that wasn't supposed to happen, happened.
I just... So, first of all, this was a bad idea from the inception. Kendo stick on a pole.
Yeah.
Is... dumb.
If you're going to have, it, if anything, it should have at least been a kendo stick match, just outright. Just
like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like kendo stick match would have been fine.
Wouldn't have been great. We probably still would have, you know, complained about it because essentially it's the same as a chair match, and chair matches are dumb.
Yeah, but like, women don't get that a lot.
Sure.
So like, I think just the as even if I didn't care for the match in itself. I think on principle, like, oh, to women getting that opportunity to just to do that spot where they both have a stick and they hit and they hit and they hit back and forth for 20 seconds.
Well, you know what they could have done just as an alternate because, A, they like, even though SmackDown does things better, they like to beat SmackDown to the punch.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as they knew that they were talking about having a women's Money in the Bank ladder match, how can we combat that? Ladder match for the women's championship. That would have been a billion times better.
That would have been fine. Or I was even fine with if you need that kendo stick in there for whatever reason. I can't believe it. When Triple H had his really stupid like, oh, we're doing the
ladder match
sledgehammer. Yeah,
it was a sledgehammer match. That was really a ladder match.
But they still had ladder. Like if they did that, if they hung the kendo stick above the ring and you had to ladder your way up to it,
mm-hmm.
That's better than on a pole. Because then they can secretly do a ladder match.
Sure. But every time they have one of these matches, they always make it sound like whoever gets the object on a pole is the it makes it sound like that's the only person that can use it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's absolutely not. It's really just like run up and get it and now beat each other with it.
Yeah.
When 9 times out of 10, there's one right underneath the ring.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a kendo stick or at least 3 underneath the ring. So there's like you just solve your problems right there.
No, which is why I feel like this it would not have made it a good match, but it would have kept it out of the discussions of worst match of the year if it had just been a kendo stick match.
Yeah.
They both could have had them and you had that one spot where they each have one and hit.
Can we just go ahead and just agree that all on a pole matches are stupid and dumb and don't need to be done anymore?
Yeah, I'm not going to say I've never seen a good on a pole match, but
I've never seen
having
one.
Not been a WCW kid.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure I've never seen a good
on a pole match.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a contract on a pole match, you just do a ladder match.
Yeah.
You know, like what they did with Ellsworth and AJ,
yeah.
You know, you just do ladder matches. That's all you have to do. And it's a billion times better. Now, ladder matches where it's, you know, the goal is to get a weapon from, you know, up high using a ladder. Still dumb.
Still dumb.
Not as dumb as on a pole match. Anything on a pole.
I can agree that. I've not ever been like, yes, on a pole.
Hmm. All right. So moving right along, we've got the steel cage match for the WWE Tag Team Championship. Cesaro and Sheamus winning over the Hardys.
That surprised me.
That Sheamus and Cesaro won?
Yes.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I picked the Hardy, so, like, fair enough.
Well, sure.
I'm trying to kind of re-piece the match, because there was another, I don't know, there was another stupid thing with the door.
Yeah, there was a stupid thing with the door, and that Jeff had already gone out of the cage, which is about the time that we were told, oh, both guys need to be outside of the cage.
Right.
So, maybe that means that you couldn't win by pinfall or submission? Because when the dumb... Okay, if you're really thinking about the logistics of all that, when one person is outside of the cage,
mm-hmm.
That's a two-on-one scenario. So, they could easily beat up your partner.
And then pin him.
And then pin him.
That, no, because that's what it was. Because that when Jeff got out, and then they started being like, "Oh, but the match isn't over yet because it hasn't." And then
again, they didn't say that until Jeff was pretty much already on the floor.
And I remember, like, I immediately started being like, "All right," because they've had tag team matches in cages before, and I'm like, "Okay, was that the case for previous matches?" Because I feel like it used to be like only one of them has to get out.
Now, we've also had like tag team matches in a cage where it was a traditional tag team match where people are on the corner, and I'm like, that's stupid.
Yes.
That's incredibly dumb.
Yes.
This is whatever format was that was this match was also dumb. They need to I'm saying do away with the door, but they need to do away with the door rule for cage matches, because what's the point when you can just open a door and walk out like that? That's always the hardest thing to explain to non-wrestling fans new wrestling fans of like, is there like a certain, like they can only ask for the door to be open at a certain time or what? Because there's never a case where like climbing the cage is the better option.
Right. And like, so you have your new first time viewer and it's like a cage match. Like, oh, I've heard of these. Like that's, you know, along with like use the chair and like leg drop. Cage is one of the things that has kind of made it into popular culture as far as a part of wrestling is cage matches. And so like, oh, we're watching a cage match. You're like, yeah, these are really good. And in the back of your head, you're like, I hope they don't do the door thing.
Yeah.
Because that just like ruins everything.
Absolutely. Because then the new fan is like, oh, well, I've seen a Hell in a Cell match. They chain up the door, like the lock on the door, just like they do on the Hell in a Cell match. Like, nope. Mm-hmm. It's even more stupid. There's a ref that guards it. And by guards it, I mean opens it for them. They don't even open it themselves. Like, I can see, like, you can do another thing where it's like they're struggling to get the door open.
Yeah.
But no, well, there's like, literally a referee who does it for you.
I swear they used to have, each guy had one opportunity to request a door open.
Excuse me.
That was.
I vaguely remember that.
Definitely a thing.
Yeah, that, like, each guy could go for the door one time or X number of times, and then no more. You know, that person can't go for the door anymore. Yeah, and then the race to get out of the cage at the end. I didn't like it.
No.
And like Jeff went back in. Does that mean he's back in the match, or has he already like the fact that he's already
he touched the floor, so he's
does it reset?
So
when
he just
goes
has
back
to
in?
Get Matt out now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weirdly confusing, but mostly it's just like
I guess it's an all right way for them to lose the belts looking weak. I guess.
I know you can't have the Hardy Boys go all out Hardy Boys on every match, especially at the age they are now. That's stupid and irresponsible, and I'm not condoning that or asking for that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still the Hardy Boys, and it's a cage match, and so like, if it kind of limps out like this one did, you're like, oh, I just... Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of how it felt.
No, absolutely. Again, there was just a lot of confusion with this match. Then moving on to, I think, a better match. That was Neville versus Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship, the submission match.
This was a submission match. That was part of the rules, right?
Yes.
Okay. It was a good match.
Yeah, I think out of their trio of matches.
I don't remember how this ended.
It ended with... Neville just catching him in his submission. Okay. I don't remember what the scenario was that happened just before, but I remember the finish was pretty all right.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a legit injury with Austin Aries about 75% in something with his shoulder. It looked like he just landed weird. I mean, we haven't seen Austin Aries since that match, and it might be a little while before we see him back in, which is fine because, like, this was a pretty extended feud.
It was.
So it's okay if he wants to step out and let somebody else come in. Also, just again, more just tangent. Just the theme of this podcast is tangents.
Tangents.
So is TJP a face again?
First of all, TJ Perkins.
Well, okay. And apparently, like, there was a lot of discussion about that.
Yes.
The past 24 hours.
Yes, there has been.
Because they just changed it out of nowhere, like, a couple weeks ago to TJP.
And apparently, he asked for that.
Right. And a dirt sheet person, writer, blogger, podcaster, whatever, reported that it's because Vince McMahon doesn't like the restaurant Perkins. Which I don't know if a lot of people know what a Perkins is. I've only eaten at one time. It's basically like a upscale cafeteria type place.
Okay, yeah.
Like kind of a K&W. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's geared towards old people like K&W is, but still. But apparently Vince hates them. And so this Dirt Sheet reporter linked that. It's like, that's why. And then TJ was just like, no, I asked for it. It's really not that difficult.
To be fair, I'm not 100% sure that Vince McMahon knows that TJ Perkins exists. Like, I don't know if he has any real awareness of what's happening on 205 Live at all.
Well, yeah, clearly, because we see how those cruiserweight segments are booked on Raw. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Not clearly.
But I don't know. For me, TJ Perkins is a better name than TJP.
Sure. I mean, it yeah. I mean, I don't really care one way or the other. I just thought that just like the discussion was weird.
I felt like MVP was held back by the name. I think just the three initial name kind of thing.
I mean, he was still introduced as Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP, and you know that was kind of like the cadence of
But he was MVP.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't like that. That seems. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for it. But like, as soon as they started doing the TJP, I was like,
Yeah.
This isn't rubbing me the right way. So, and that, I will say, that is 100% a me thing.
Just go by your full name, you know, just be like, hey, yeah, my name is now Turkey Juice Perkins. I almost said Porkins.
Yeah, I heard that.
That would have been amazing if that's his full name.
Yeah, I don't know. And I get, like, again, I get you need something that you can trademark, and I get it needs to be. You know, we got to give this guy a name.
Yeah. But back to the discussion of, like, because I don't remember. I watched their match on 205, and it actually was a pretty good match with Neville and TJP.
Okay.
To end 205 Live, and I don't remember exactly what the, I believe it was a pretty clean finish, again, with the submission hold. So I don't know if that was just kind of like a blow-off thing to, like, you know, to finally end that story where he promised TJP a match.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's going to be who the next number one contender is going to be.
No.
For Great Balls of Fire.
Because in case you hadn't heard,
the next pay-per-view for Raw is
called Great Balls of Fire.
And the promo material literally has a phallus on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've changed that since then. They probably have. Hoping someone's pointed that out because, well, the talent sure is aware of it because somebody tweeted at Sasha Banks, like, do you see this? And she's like, yep, I know.
All right.
But all right. Still, like, I'm... So if it's not TJ Perkins, who is the next guy in line, so to speak? Like, who's got any sort of momentum?
I mean...
But then again, like, they kind of just throw, like, people in kind of...
Personal feelings, Cedric Alexander should be...
He's been stepping it up and since he's been back.
He's been nothing less than impressive in everything I've seen him in.
Yeah.
Especially since coming back.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He's the one who I'd like to see both as champion and even just in the chase. I don't know if
his match against Noam Dar on 205 Live was I know, like, the main event was pretty good. The highlight for me was that I'm guessing this is the final match between he and Noam Dar.
Yeah.
And yeah, they like, it felt almost like a cruiserweight classic kind of match, mm-hmm. where they were kind of like allowed to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel like a, you know, 2017's WWE's version of a cruiserweight match.
Right.
It felt like a, you know, like a classic.
A good old classic.
Yeah.
There are other guys who, like, my jaw wouldn't drop at Rick Swann coming back into it.
We've seen there's been a lack of Jack Gallagher lately.
There has been.
Yeah.
And he did. He had a shot at the title, didn't he? While Neville held it.
Yes, he was.
That was a fantastic match, and that was.
Yeah. Again, like, I feel like they've chained him a little too much to this, like, the gentleman.
The comediness.
The comedy and the gotta involve that umbrella, mm-hmm. you know? And then you've got, you know, him going on NXT and going up against the first UK champion, Tyler Bate.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a one-on-one match against with those two, and that was incredible. And again, it was one of those. It was another reminder of like, right, Jack Gallagher is legitimately impressive and great in the ring if they would just let him do his thing.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I definitely think like that's, and we talked about that, like his first match in the Cruiserweight. You're like, oh, he's really, really talented. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a cartoon character.
Sure, right. I don't know. I don't know who you would, because honestly, I'm not quite done with Neville being an unstoppable force. Because, like, again, like that main event of 205.5, is he's just impressive. And he's just head and shoulders above everyone else right now in that division.
Now that it's just not going to be Austin Aries, which I'm assuming is it's just not going to be Austin Aries, I am fine with him running through another couple of people before something happens, something picks up.
Yeah, they could do, like, another, like, multi-man, you know, elimination style match to determine a number one contender or a battle royal or something like that.
And it would be kind of cool if they had, like, a, you know, over 3 weeks sort of
like a mini tournament
bracket thing, up for the number one contender, and then Neville beats down that guy again.
Sure.
So it's like all this work, it just you keep stumbling at the foot of the hill.
Would be a good way to get some steam behind Grand Metalik.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a Grand Metalik Neville match?
Grand Metalik could use some steam behind him.
He could use some steam because again, like he just had a lackluster re-debut.
Yeah.
Because he was on the first episode or the first installment of the Cruiserweights on Raw, and then he was gone for a while. Then he brought him in, and he wasn't, like, that wasn't his best match. You know, I don't know if it was nerves on his part or what, but he was off that night.
Yeah.
And if, I don't know if he's been punished for that since then, but he hasn't been on 205.5, hasn't been on Raw. I think he might have been on Main Event, I guess.
Well, I don't know, like, part of the interesting thing about these 205 Live guys, especially the ones who came through the classic as like not WWE guys, but just is like, I don't know what their contract looks like now. I don't know what it is. I don't know what, I mean, he could have legit just been busy out in the world and not had time to do any WWE tapings.
Sure.
But if that's the case, you don't rise to the top of WWE by wrestling elsewhere.
Right. But as far as like a, if you're going off of like a, you know, who's got momentum or whatever, clearly, you know, the clear choice in that is Tozawa. But he's doing some weird thing with Titus Brand and Apollo Crews, which isn't on 205 Live. So I don't know what is going on there.
Yeah.
Or if they just like Tozawa that much, they want to like just move him to the actual roster.
Maybe. I mean, it's like Tozawa is an underrated get for WWE.
Absolutely.
Like, especially with like the Ulse Mojo. And we got AJ Styles, like the gathering everybody up. Tozawa's a big deal that kind of.
Yeah.
Isn't being treated like a holy crap, he's here, he's in the WWE.
I would have liked, you know, just especially after he got such a great reaction during the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought for sure guys like him and Grand Metalik would have gotten a like big push right out the gate as soon as they started 205 Live or as soon as they started the division. And they didn't. They waited a while. Like, again, they finished out dates and everything, but still waited a while to bring in Tozawa and bring in Metalik. But beyond that,
okay, the last match.
We are at the Fatal 5-Way Extreme Rules match for the number one contender. And I did not, like, as much as I wanted it to happen, I did not see Samoa Joe winning this match.
I was surprised by that.
I was legit surprised. Like, I thought for sure they were going to do Finn and Brock at Great Balls.
I will say, like, as soon as that surprise happened where they're like, oh, immediately I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. Maybe this means he'll win.
Right.
Which is what they want. So good job for them for getting me to like immediately feel that.
Right. And overall, it was a pretty good main event.
I thought it was a really good main event.
Yeah.
I thought it did a lot to make up for a lot of the lackluster. Like, this was not a good pay-per-view up until this match.
No.
And like, this match, it wasn't great enough that it could turn around, save the day, and carry it all on its shoulders. But it was a really good match. I thought Roman did especially well.
Yeah.
Especially the first several minutes of the match with the just kind of standing and watching.
Again, Roman's in-ring work isn't terrible. We've had this discussion a billion times, so I'm not really going to go. But his in-ring work isn't terrible. It's not the worst I've seen. It's not the worst on the roster. It's just the character is just is not clicking and blah blah blah. And you know the spiel.
Yeah, fill in the blank with your Roman complaint here.
But I don't know. Like now that I think about it, yeah, of course Samoa Joe won. Like it, now it feels like you know there is no other person for this role. Especially once you get towards Raw and you get to that promo with him and Paul Heyman, and that was a
him and Heyman, freaking masterpiece. That is a good example of two people working together to sell the same event.
The best part of their promo, neither one of them had a microphone in their hands. You know, is just Samoa Joe being uncomfortably close to Paul Heyman and telling him exactly what's about to happen, and then does it.
Well, and the thing is, like, not having a microphone in your hand there led a lot to the scene that they were developing and playing out.
And again, people who have followed Joe's career knows how terrifying that man is.
Yeah.
Okay. People who saw him on NXT eventually saw how terrifying that man is. So there's all, but up to this point, if you're just a WWE follower, don't even watch NXT or anything like that, this is the only thing you've seen of Joe. It's like, hey, I don't see why he's a big deal.
It really felt like as soon as he jumped up, he's another Triple H lackey.
Right.
And then he hurt somebody.
Sure.
Right away.
Right. But you don't really like see what the hype is all about. You don't see why he's so terrifying. And then you got this segment, which I did so much more to showing those types of fans of, oh no, you should be scared of this guy. You see him walking down the street, you turn and run the other way immediately.
Yeah.
You know? And of course it's Paul Heyman, you know? And it further pushes how much of a fantasy dream match that Brock versus Samoa Joe really is.
Oh, it really is. And that's one of the biggest kind of takeaways here is
like as soon as we found out that Joe was in WWE, that was like pretty much the first thing that a lot of people circled. Be like, I want to see
Samoa Joe
versus Samoa Joe. Like it was that. It was Brock versus KO, and eventually Brock versus Nakamura. Uh-huh. You know, those are the matches that we wanted to see. Hell, I mean Brock versus AJ. I still want to see that.
Yeah,
but Joe was like the one that was closest to the top, just because it's just I wanted to see what happens when two dump trucks crash into each other at their top speed.
I mean, mostly I would just like to see Brock Lesnar on the, you know, show more. So Brock Lesnar versus anybody is
right
a treat for me.
I don't know, but the match was good. Joe, the right guy, won. Mm-hmm. The finish was really good. But really, like the top story here was that promo from Raw.
I thought
that's
it was
the
great,
one of the best promos on Raw I've seen in a long time. And it made it again. It was a ready made feud that honestly they didn't have to do much work in to get people on board. But you come out swinging like that.
Oh yeah.
And again, like that makes it difficult to kind of carry that all the way over. But it's Brock and Samoa Joe, so and you got Paul Heyman. And what I did love about that promo is that it did show, what a lot of us knew of how good Joe is on the mic, and
he's not gotten a lot of chances to showcase,
right?
Especially
on Raw.
On Raw, like yeah. he had a little bit in NXT, but even in NXT, he didn't have a great amount of opportunity to showcase
that. I love listening to him on interviews and on Jericho or Stone Cold.
Well, and it's just like the not having the microphone up for the threat, basically.
Yeah.
It's like that's what we call an acting choice.
Right. And the good thing about that is it would have been so easy for those fans to turn on that, the fans that were in the stadium, because
mm-hmm.
they can't hear what we're hearing.
Yeah.
So well, I mean, like I could have been really easy for those fans to kind of turn on it.
But hearing it wasn't the important part.
No.
Like you could see it was the threat and
yeah.
you could see what it meant and then you saw him carry it out. That was cuz on the flip side of that same coin, it would have been so easy for him to step back, say all of those words into the microphone and do it.
Yeah.
And that would and we still would have been like good promo, solid. I like it.
Right.
They're working together. Good job.
But it doesn't do the same intensity effect. Yeah.
And it is a very good way. We talked, and this goes back to like since the pipe bomb, we've been in quote unquote the reality era.
Sure.
Where, and some of that is this like, oh, we're stripping away the curtain so you can really take a peek behind and see how this wrestling happens. And so they'll have these like break in the fourth wall moments mm-hmm. in the show. And what I really like is these like leaning on the fourth wall where like obviously we all sit here and we'll know like, oh, Joe isn't really mad at Paul Heyman and that kind of thing. But like the not doing it the exact same way with everybody with the microphone and with the list of threats kind of thing, you just get a little bit of like, oh, why? I'm not sure why, but I do know that this is making me uncomfortable.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Is there anything else from the week itself that you wanted to cover?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because there is a question I do want to ask.
Okay.
Just because it was something I had on my mind earlier. Because basically, we're in the month of June.
Yes.
The sixth month of the year. So we're essentially halfway through the year.
Okay.
What is your like matches of the year shaping up to be? Like, what is that looking like?
I mean, the easy answer is
Okada Omega.
Yeah.
It's still on the top of my list. You know, but I want to pick your brain on exactly what other matches you're considering. Because I know you've got some.
I do have some.
Okay.
And so when you go through match of the year, you look at stuff like, all right, where's WrestleMania? Obviously, they're going to try their best at WrestleMania.
Sure.
Nothing at WrestleMania, I feel.
I mean, the only one that come that would even kind of move the needle a little bit on my radar would be AJ and Shane.
Mm-hmm.
But
then,
I wouldn't.
The thing is, Wrestle Kingdom was January 6th.
Yeah.
Right?
Might have been the 3rd.
Okay, whatever.
It's on the same day every year.
Yeah, but it was the first week of January.
Right.
So we are a handful of days into the new year, and basically, your match of the year search is over.
Essentially, yeah.
Which,
and like again, that puts the bar extremely high that a lot of people are going to try to reach when they should. It should be their goal.
It's honestly a little disappointing as far as like I'm ready to begin my search kind of thing.
For me, the only match that comes close would be the UK Championship,
and that's the thing is like that's where I'm headed with this.
Yeah,
is I've almost been watching as like what somebody give me something. And that's the only match that I can hold up to that Wrestle Kingdom match and be like, and not immediately throw that match away. Be like, well, obviously, Okada Omega. Like, and that Wrestle the UK match was just, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And that, like, obviously, I got to watch both of them again.
Yeah.
Obviously, I got to spend a lot of time ruminating, but that one might win. That one might be my match.
Really? UK?
Really. Uh-huh.
All right. The only other one that's on my radar was...
And I'll tell you why. Okay, tell you why right now. If it is, the reason is it was a fantastic match at Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really enjoyed it. Thought those were two incredible athletes at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait to see Wrestle Kingdom next year. This match with the UK in a single match... put over two guys I had either never seen or seen very, very little of. Put both of them over, put that title over. That's my most interesting title in the company right now. And put basically an entire division up to basically a show because they're going to start a weekly UK tournament. And so in a single match, they were able to put two guys over, put a title over, and put a show over as the new must-see wrestling show the second that it comes out.
Whereas with the Wrestle Kingdom match, Okada and Omega was pretty much well over already as it was. I mean, not necessarily in the States or anything, but as far
they're
as
well
like,
over, but I can't wait to see their rematch.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very difficult for a single match of two guys to put over a company or a brand or a show in its entirety.
Right.
And these UK guys were able to do it. Now, your mileage may vary on the Wrestle Kingdom because I definitely know there's a lot of like people saying that match, that Wrestle Kingdom as a whole, and specifically that main event, sold me on getting whatever New Japan's network, like the equivalent of the WWE network that New Japan has. And I can totally understand that. That's not a incorrect feeling.
Right. I will say this, just to play devil's advocate, you know, with, because I'm still saying Okada Omega for me, but if you're kind of doing like a pros and cons list or whatever, do you have any complaints with the UK match? Because I don't.
I do not.
I do have one complaint with Okada and Omega, and that's the wrong guy won.
Really?
Okada, I love Okada and I love Omega, but Omega should have won that match. Yeah, and a lot of people are saying that as well.
Really? Okay.
That's the only complaint. And again, it seems very minor in the grand scheme of that entire match.
See,
you know?
I have an entirely different complaint.
What's that?
Young Bucks. That they were there.
Oh, okay.
That, because these two guys were capable.
I don't remember. Did they even?
They did a little bit of interference.
Okay.
Mostly like they helped set up the table. Like they didn't
get in
the ring. They didn't disrupt the match. But
essentially, they turn into Omega's Young Lions.
But it's the kind of thing where like you watch WrestleMania 3, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh, Steamboat Savage, here we go.
Sure.
And it starts, and you watch it, and you're like, oh yeah, George the Animal Steel's also really heavily involved in this.
Right.
Match.
Yeah.
I 100% forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then like it doesn't.
Because very rarely those the matches that you rate so highly rarely ever have like outside interference because
right. It
just makes it feel a little cheap, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing where you're like, and I don't want to like take anything away from these two guys and the magic they're able to pull off and put together. And I will say I
love that they at least kept it to a very, very minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I need to rewatch it. So
I will say the first successful Rainmaker hit. I don't think I've marked out so hard for a move this year. And the Rainmaker's kind of stupid.
It really is. It really is. Because I don't even, the first successful one, I don't even think they did the camera trick. Did the weird zoom.
No, but just like the attempt and the fail, and the attempt and the fail, and like the build up to it, and the attempt and the way that the announcer was getting into it. That was an incredible build up, and that is a thing where I'm like, that is two guys and an announcer working together to craft a sequence that puts over this move, and they did that beautifully.
Yeah,
and I don't have a better example of that.
Right,
like okay, and I will say that replaces JR calling a stunner for me for the definitive,
or JR calling Wrestle Kingdom like 2 years ago. Yeah,
so but then like the whole. Like talking about, and Mick Foley's gone into this a great deal about how JR can put over what he does to sell something, to make something, and not directly being like, and Cole doesn't.
Yeah.
But part of why the stunner is such a memorable move is JR calling the stunner. Yeah. Is JR going to Stone Cold, and or you know, when he yells stunner. And so that was the definitive what an announcer can do for a, not just for a match, but for a specific move.
Yeah.
And that's been it for like almost 20 years. That's been the thing to point to. And now it's the Rainmaker thing.
Yeah.
Which is like, and if I got to give the match where that happened props. I got to be like, that's got to be considered for match of the year.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And again, it has to come down to watching these two matches literally back to back.
And again, like it. It's also like I also consider it special because of like what's going on around them, you know.
Uh-huh.
This is like the first Wrestle Kingdom where it's kind of on Okada's shoulders, you know. Tanahashi's not in the main event. Tanahashi's, you know, he was in the Intercontinental Championship before that, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he was going up against Naito. And then you've got Omega, who's never been in the New Japan main event. You know, this is like his first real, especially at their biggest event of the year. And you know, you've got AJ's gone, Gallows and Anderson are gone, Nakamura's gone. Like, this is their first Wrestle Kingdom without all these people in a long time, and it's just on these guys' shoulders, and they knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible, like, not even close to the park.
Well, and they have a rematch coming up, don't they?
They do. I don't know exactly when it is.
And so that's something to watch.
Right. I don't know how in the world they're going to top it. I don't know if they even try to top it.
I don't think they try to. I think they try and do something different.
Right. They try to make this its own thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad that they wait.
I mean, you can't. And that's part of the thing. You can't. You look at that match. You can't be like, do that, but better. Because there's nowhere better to go.
Right.
Except, like, again, and my complaint is, like, Young Bucks are there. And you're,
yeah.
And, but if Young Bucks weren't there for, like, the rematch, you'd be like, oh, they're trying to.
Yeah.
Cut out and craft a piece of something that you can't plan for necessarily.
I am glad that they, because I was scared, because there was a lot of talk that they were basically going to try to do a rematch almost immediately.
Right.
I'm glad they at least waited basically 6 months.
No, I think that's good.
Now, granted, like, you know, they probably were in a tough spot when Shibata got injured and is still in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't do shoot headbutts, people. God, I love Shibata, but that just, ugh, still. But I know that they were in a tough spot after he got put in the hospital and, like, it's like, well, that was our main event.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm glad they waited this long. I would have rather the second one just happened next Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, it's almost like, too tempting to.
Yeah, part of me is like, how, if that happened, if they held off for a year, how is that not automatically the main event of Wrestle Kingdom next year?
Yeah, regardless of who wins the G1 or not, because that's essentially what it is. It's their version of Royal Rumble. Like, the, mm-hmm. whoever wins the G1. Is in the main event for the championship at Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
You know?
And so
they kind of have that system in place. So this is a way to organically get that rematch without, you know, having, you know, Omega win the G1 again or somehow Omega right. winning the championship and then Okada winning the G1 or something like that.
Right.
But ultimately, yeah. I would have, that would have been a more ideal situation, but I would gladly take them waiting like 6 months.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
So yeah, right. That was just a random thought I had in my mind. Basically, we're both agreeing on the same two matches.
Yes.
I'll also throw in the that triple threat tag match in NXT, I want to say Orlando, with Authors of Pain, Revival, and...
Oh, yeah.
Really good match that gets gets overlooked a lot.
Mm-hmm. That was a pretty incredible match.
Because I there's the ladder match from the last TakeOver, but I like that triple threat a little bit more.
I don't know. I mean...
And we'll, I believe it was that. Obviously, it might have been San Antonio. I
way
don't
too early to be talking about classes, sure. definitively. But like, but we do have spot of the year, and yeah. that ladder hitting Johnny
in the face.
That
yeah.
might be my spot of the year.
Yeah, it definitely is the most uncomfortable moment mm-hmm. of the year. Ugh, but yeah. So yeah, that I just, you know, halfway through the year, almost just about. So
yeah,
that's why it was on my brain.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet when there is wrestling to live tweet about.
Yes. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of interaction helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
Yep. And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of projects we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.